Okay, so get ready. We're diving deep into the world of grand juries. You know, those groups that decide if there's enough to bring criminal charges. We're looking at United States VR Enterprises, Inc. from 1991.
A Supreme Court case, yeah.
A Supreme Court case.
This case is super interesting.
Yeah.
It shows the tension between the government's power, to investigate crime, and then individual rights. We're talking about the Fourth Amendment, protection against unreasonable searches, and even the First Amendment.
Oh, wow. So, like, free speech issues, too. Okay, what exactly happened in this case?
Okay, picture this. It's the late 1980s. We've got a grand jury in Virginia, and they're investigating interstate transportation of obscene materials.
Okay.
And they focus on these three companies owned by this guy, Martin Rothstein. One of them was called Model Magazine Distributors. They distributed adult content, and so the grand jury, they slapped them with the subpoena.
Subpoenas.
Yeah, demanding tons of corporate records. And get this, they also wanted copies of 193 videotapes from Model Magazine.
193 videotapes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. I'm guessing they weren't too happy about that.
You're right, they were not happy. They argued that what the government wanted had nothing to do with the investigation. They said their First Amendment rights were on the line. Basically, they thought the government was just on a fishing expedition.
Ah, so this case became this battle between the government wanting justice and protecting individual freedom.
Exactly. It went back and forth, first in the district court, which sided with the government. Then in the Fourth Circuit, they kind of agreed with the companies, at least partially. Because of that disagreement, it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Classic Supreme Court showdown. So, who won? Did the court side with the government or the company?
Well, the Supreme Court went with the government, and their decision kind of shook things up in the legal world. They decided that grand jury subpoenas, they start with an assumption of being reasonable. So the burden of proof is on the person who gets the subpoena. They have to prove to the court that there's no way that the stuff they're asking for is relevant.
No reasonable possibility, right? That's tough. It sounds like the court was basically saying grand juries can ask for anything they want.
Not quite, although it does give them a lot of leeway. The Supreme Court said grand juries can't just go on fishing expeditions or harass people with subpoenas that are irrelevant. There has to be a reason to think that the information they're asking for is connected to their investigation.
Okay, so there are limits, but this reasonable possibility standard still seems to give the government a big advantage.
It does.
Can you give me an example of how this would work in real life?
Sure. Let's say a grand jury is investigating a drug trafficking ring. They issue a subpoena for a business's financial records, a business that's, say, near a known drug den. Now, maybe this business has nothing to do with drug trafficking, but.
But their records could show some kind of connection.
Right.
Like maybe they were laundering money for the dealers.
Exactly. And under the reasonable possibility standard, it would be up to that business owner to prove to the court that there's absolutely no link between them and the drug operation. They couldn't just say, "We just sell bread, we don't deal drugs." They'd
Yeah.
need solid proof.
That makes sense. So the reasonable possibility standard is powerful, but not a free pass. But what about the First Amendment argument that the companies brought up? Did the Supreme Court address that?
They did, but not directly. They said that First Amendment concerns could be part of figuring out if the subpoena is reasonable, but didn't really give any guidelines on how to balance those concerns with the government's interest in the investigation.
So it's a bit of a gray area when you talk about free speech, huh? That seems like a big problem.
Yeah, it is. And that's where Justice Stevens's concurrence comes in.
Oh, okay.
He agreed that grand juries need power to investigate, but he was worried about them going too far, especially with First Amendment rights.
Okay, now this is getting interesting. Let's hear more about what Justice Stevens had to say, because it sounds like he adds a whole new layer to this case.
Welcome back.
So we left off talking about Justice Stevens and how he was a little worried about the whole grand jury subpoena thing.
Right. Justice Stevens, he agreed that grand juries need this broad power, to investigate. But he also said, hey, watch out for going overboard, especially when it comes to, First Amendment stuff like freedom of speech, freedom of the press.
Yeah, so he was trying to balance things out, protect individual rights, but also make sure law enforcement can do their job.
Exactly. That's where his balancing test comes in. He said courts shouldn't just automatically approve every single grand jury subpoena. They need to look at how much it burdens the person getting the subpoena and weigh that against how badly the government needs that information.
Okay, that sounds fair. Can you give me like a real-world example?
Sure. Let's say there's the subpoena and it's asking for years of emails from a journalist, right? And that could mean exposing their confidential sources, people who are giving them information. That's a massive burden on the journalist. It could even, scare other people from talking to the press, which is bad for freedom of the press.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
So, in that kind of situation, Stevens's balancing test would say the government would really have to prove why they need those emails, right? And show that there's no other way to get that
You
information.
got it. They'd have to convince the court that those emails are super important for the investigation and that they can't get what they need in any other way.
So even though the burden of proof is still on the person getting the subpoena, Stevens is saying, hey, courts, take a closer look here. That seems like this would give lawyers a lot more to work with when fighting these really broad or demanding subpoenas.
Absolutely. It lets them focus not only on whether the information is relevant, but also on how hard it is for their client to actually comply. They can show the court how much time they're spending gathering documents, the potential harm to their client's reputation, and how this might discourage their client from exercising their First Amendment rights. They can argue that all of that outweighs any benefit the government might get from the information.
So instead of just saying the information isn't relevant, lawyers can now show the bigger picture, all the bad things that could happen if their client has to go along with this broad subpoena. It's all about context, huh?
Exactly. And if the government has a history of, issuing these questionable subpoenas, or if they're being vague about what the investigation is really about, lawyers can use that too. The court can look at everything when deciding if a subpoena is truly reasonable.
This reminds me of that other big case, United States v. Nixon. The Watergate tapes.
Right, but that was about a trial subpoena, not a grand jury subpoena.
That's right. And the court in our enterprises, they made it clear that the rules for those two types of subpoenas are different.
Yeah. In Nixon, the court said that for a subpoena to be valid during a trial, the information has to be relevant to the case, and it also has to be admissible as evidence in court.
Meaning, it has to be directly related to the case, and it has to be the kind of evidence that's allowed in court. But with grand jury subpoenas, the standards are looser.
Right. Because grand juries are still in the early stages. They're investigating, trying to gather all the information they can. They don't have to know exactly what evidence will be used at trial because they haven't even decided if there will be a trial.
Makes sense. It's like they're detectives, and they need the freedom to explore everything without being tied down by all those strict rules of evidence that you see in a trial.
Exactly. And that's why the court in our enterprises basically said, look, grand juries play by a different set of rules. And those rules give them a lot of power.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important for lawyers to understand the limits of that power and when to push back.
It's this constant balancing act, giving law enforcement what they need to investigate crime, but also making sure that they're not overstepping and taking away people's rights.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a little. This case matters to everyone, not just people who are dealing with a grand jury investigation.
Right. Good point. Why should our listeners care about our enterprises, even if they're not in the middle of some legal battle?
Well, our enterprises reminds us that even though we have a system that values individual rights, the government still has a lot of power to make people hand over information. And while there are ways to challenge those demands, especially when they're too broad or burdensome, you have to know the rules to do it effectively.
Knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
Lawyers and just regular people need to know about these precedents, how they can use them to protect themselves.
Exactly. Cases like our enterprises and Nixon, they shape our legal system. Understanding them is crucial for anyone who wants to navigate the law and protect themselves from the government overstepping its bounds.
Wow, we've covered so much today. The obscenity investigation from way back in the 80s, all the way to the Supreme Court. We talked about the presumption of reasonableness, the burden of proof, Justice Stevens' balancing test, and the difference between grand jury and trial subpoenas. What do you think is the most important takeaway from all this?
I'd say it's the realization that the law is always changing.
Yeah.
It evolves through cases like our enterprises. The way the court interprets the Constitution, it sets precedents that affect the whole legal system. And it's up to us as lawyers, as citizens, to stay informed about these changes because they affect us all, whether we're facing a grand jury subpoena or just trying to understand how power works in our society.
That's a really important point. But wait a minute, we're not done yet. There's one more crucial piece of our enterprises that we have to talk about.
And that's the potential for abuse by the prosecutors.
Now, that's something I always want to talk about. Things are getting serious now. We'll be right back to dive into that and how to prevent it. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
We've been talking about United States VR Enterprises, Inc., you know, this landmark case about how much power grand juries have when they issue subpoenas.
Yes.
But now we're going to look at a really tricky part of it.
Let's talk about the possibility of prosecutors misusing this power.
That's a big concern. Justice Stevens, you know, in his separate opinion, he brought this up. He was worried about grand juries being used to harass people or go on these fishing expeditions, just looking for anything they can find.
I could see how that could happen. Grand juries, they work in secret, right? There's not a lot of oversight.
Right.
I mean, the secrecy is important to protect investigations.
Sure.
But it could also make it easier for someone to abuse the system.
You're right. Think about it. What if you had a prosecutor who had, like, a personal grudge?
Yeah.
And they used a grand jury to go after their enemies or maybe dig up dirt on a political opponent. That's a scary thought.
It is. It reminds us that even when power is meant to be used for good, it can be used for bad. So are there any safeguards? I mean, are there checks and balances to prevent this kind of abuse?
Luckily, there are. The courts have said that grand juries aren't completely above the law. There are limits to what they can do, even if those limits are sometimes a little fuzzy.
Can you give me some examples?
Yeah. A court can throw out a subpoena if it's clear that the prosecutor is acting in bad faith, you know, if they're not being honest.
Yeah.
Or if the subpoena is so broad, it's just ridiculous. Clearly a fishing expedition for stuff that has nothing to do with the case.
Okay, that makes sense. But proving that a prosecutor is acting improperly in a grand jury seems almost impossible. I mean,
yeah.
Everything is so secret.
That's a big challenge. You often have to, like, connect the dots, look for patterns.
Yeah.
You know, has this prosecutor issued a lot of questionable subpoenas before? Are they going after people they've had public fights with?
Those are definitely red flags. So what can we do when we see those red flags? Who's supposed to stop prosecutorial misconduct?
That's where lawyers and the media are so important. They need to be watchdogs, looking closely at grand jury investigations for any sign of abuse, and they have to be ready to speak up when they see something wrong.
So it's up to all of us to hold those in power accountable. We need a strong legal community and an aware public to keep things in check.
Exactly. The grand jury system is powerful. It's important for getting justice, but it can be misused.
Right.
It's like any tool. It can be used for good or bad.
That's a great way to put it. So as we wrap up our deep dive into United States VR Enterprises, Inc., what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners? What should they remember?
I think the key is this. Grand jury subpoenas, they have a lot of power. They're presumed to be reasonable, and it's up to the person receiving one to fight back. But it's important to remember that these subpoenas are not immune from scrutiny.
And that scrutiny is on all of us. The courts need to make sure grand juries aren't being used as weapons for harassment or fishing expeditions.
Mm-hmm.
And lawyers, journalists, and everyday people, we all need to watch out for prosecutorial misconduct.
Exactly. Our whole justice system depends on it.
Well said. That concludes our deep dive into United States VR Enterprises, Inc., a really complex case with big implications for the balance of power in our society.
Thanks for joining us on this journey through the law. Until next time, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep asking questions.
Remember, everyone, knowledge is power, especially when you're navigating the complexities of the legal world.